Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 41 on March 26th, 2013. So, settle in, everyone. I have a long letter for you, but you are going to love it. And while you're settling in, getting something to drink, pulling up the blankets, getting cozy, I'm going to play some music because we are going to start right off the bat here with pegging celebration time. Okay, here we go. I can't believe I'm writing this, but your website is an inspiration. I like the way it takes most of the BDSM out of the beauty of pegging. I found your site after looking for information about pegging on being able to do it with love and not kink. Here's my experience of the right and wrong things for what it is worth. I reunited with an old girlfriend from many years ago. Back then, we were very vanilla, but had a great time pleasing each other and had many fond memories. After reuniting, there was some talk of experiences, but we had not done much more than either of us had the first time around. I did let her know that I liked to wear some sexy lingerie once in a while, but couldn't share it before. It was something I'd kept in the closet. She found the idea to be quite sexy and promptly took me shopping for some sexy stockings. We had a lot of fun, and not too long after, she asked if I'd ever considered sex with a strap-on. I promptly said yes, and if she was interested in trying, so was I. This was something I had fantasized about for several years, but figured the chances were slim. I thought if it did happen, it would be a one-time deal with someone I did not want to be with anyway. Now I was getting the chance with the woman I love. We knew nothing, but went shopping and bought a cheap strap-on to try. The first time was fantastic, but we knew very little and used the wrong type of lube, a toxic toy, and a cheap harness that let the toy pop loose from the harness, spoiling the mood. We tried a few more times with the same setup, but every time I would really get into it and the O-ring would let loose and spoil the moment. We evolved to the correct lube, a quality leather harness with no O-ring and a non-toxic dildo. The beauty of the new harness is that it's a four-strap style, so I can penetrate her with it on. The difference in setups is like night and day, and some other things changed that we never dreamed of. At first, we tried the domination approach, but it did not work for either of us. Spanking just did not seem right to do to someone you love. We tried it with me feeling very feminine and dressed in sexy lingerie, and it works, but sometimes she just likes to take me masculine and naked. What we have found that works best for both of us is just to make love. We may dress up a bit, but if I'm neutral in my feminine-masculine side, it all seems to work best. We're still practicing and have only done it 10 times so far. Most of what we learned is to eliminate the kink and make it about love. When she puts on her lady lingam, as we prefer to call it, strap-on just sounds a little too kinky for our taste. I know I am in for amazing pleasure. She is so sexy with a 7-inch long, 1.5-inch across dildo firmly attached to her gorgeous body. I just get so excited seeing her dressed for nothing more than to please me. We start by lots of kissing, fondling, and sometimes I lay her on her back and enter her for a while, showing how turned on I am, and bring her to an orgasm or two. It is so sexy making love to her with the lady lingam pointing up and knowing soon I will be the one penetrated. Lately she's been lubing me up and tickling my prostate with 2 fingers. This loosens me up and relaxes me enough to take the lady lingam. We tend to start with me bent over as she slowly slides it in with short strokes until she is all the way in. Before I know it, she is giving me long, deep, slow strokes, and then she picks up the pace. Soon, she is pounding away, and I am coming in a long, quivering orgasm. With practice, she's getting really good at paying attention to what's happening with my body and is really learning how to please me. It's starting to feel quite natural, like we've been doing this for years. One of my favorite things she does is lie across my back and whisper how much she loves me in my ear, all the while giving it to me deep and rubbing against my P-spot. It is so sexy knowing she is doing this out of love and not just to be kinky. Knowing it is happening with nothing but love and the joy of seeing me experience multiple orgasms is what we have been finding the best way to peg. Another favorite is with her on her back as I ride her staring into those beautiful eyes. She always has an expression of joy and love, seeing me experience the special bond we share. Sometimes I will stroke myself as she thrusts up into me, and other times I just enjoy the sensation of riding up and down as she meets me with her thrusts. This has really affected me in ways I never thought of. The amount of intimacy required is amazing, and it fosters even more intimacy. Being the one penetrated is a real reversal and allows me to see what it is like for her. I truly have a newfound appreciation for what it takes for a woman to allow a man to enter her. The orgasms are incredible and multiple. Never in my life have I ever had multiple orgasms, and now I truly embrace them. Treating the P-spot just like the G-spot and feeling the, did I say incredible, pleasure of enjoying the woman I love actually making love to me just as I do with her is phenomenal. Giving my virginity to her has created a bond between us that we both cherish and enjoy. She has said it would be different had I done it before with anyone else. Some of the physical differences are quite apparent. I now get much harder for regular sex, much like I was in my 20s. I last longer, have larger amounts of ejaculate, and my prostate feels wonderful. Peeing is far easier, and it is easier to completely empty my bladder. I did not realize my prostate was enlarging as I got older. I had no problem before, but the difference is enough to really notice. I feel 25 years younger down there. Part of the deal is I take care of the setup, clean myself so there are no unwanted surprises, lay out some rubber gloves for lubing and penetration, lube accessible, towel laid out on the bed to catch my juices and wayward lube. For teardown, I clean everything up, take the towel to the laundry, clean the lube off the leather, boil the dildo, and put it all away for later. She only has to be in the moment, and I take care of the rest. It sure beats trying to get things ready in the heat of the moment. Anyway, we are soon to be married, and pegging is quickly becoming part of our usual love life. She wants to continue with giving me great pleasure, but has asked that I back off a bit so this does not become an obsession. Yeah, I have pushed it a bit, but with that kind of pleasure, it is easy to get carried away. We are finding a balance and removing any pressure to perform to keep pegging as something we do out of love. Other than our pegging, we enjoy a fairly normal love life and please each other with no BDSM or other forms of kink. The lady lingam is the only toy we really use. I do dress occasionally in lingerie, but it has nothing to do with pegging or sex. It is liberating knowing it's okay, and she does not judge me for doing so. I get to marry the most beautiful, understanding, sensual woman I could ever have imagined. Our communication is great, and we both feel okay bringing up any subject. I had no idea my fantasy would come true, and it would be filled with so much love and adoration. She really loves me, and I love her just as much. Just having the fantasy planted and the opportunity to live it out with the love of my life makes me the happiest man in the whole world. I'm not gay, bi, or want a man to do what she does. I only want this woman to love me in a very special way. This is something I will only experience with her for the rest of our lives. We are truly in love and desire to be with only each other and have no desires for anything outside of our relationship. Now, this is not something I share with my buddies or anyone other than my future bride. You are the only one to know. If you decide to use this, please no names or locations. I just had to share this with someone who would get it. Wow. I get it, all right. Absolutely, I get it. It is just lovely to hear all about your happiness with each other, how much you're in love, your happiness with your sexual explorations and your discoveries of what works best for you in the land of pegging, and how incredibly exciting to be able to not only live out a fantasy that you had desired for some time, but to find the love of your life, too, and to be doing that with her. You know, not to mention the discovering the bucket loads of pleasure in the process, right? I want to start off right here mentioning something that you wrote. Here's what you wrote. Here is my experience of the right and wrong things for what it is worth. I'd like to emphasize here that this is what works for you. You two are perfect examples of choosing to experience pegging without the BDSM. And it's interesting that you tried some of it anyway and then kind of kept changing it up until you found what works best for both of you. And what worked best for both of you was making love. And it was all about just the lovely, sensual, tender making love. And you know, I tell people, when I teach, that pegging can absolutely be a loving, tender act between otherwise very vanilla partners. There is no obligatory kink involved. And you guys just personify that, you know. So the most important thing is to do what works for you. And I also, though, want to hold space for all the other people that like to have their kink with it, because you found what works for you and other people find what works for them. And I'm very careful to hold space for everybody here at Pegging Paradise. So I'm very happy to have your view on things, and I'm happy that you are both embracing that and you have found what works for you. And there are other things that work for other people, and I'm fascinated by the variety, I tell you. Okay, to move on more with some of the stuff in your letter, the equipment, yes. See, this is why I advise people to buy once and buy quality, because sometimes it's tempting to get the cheap stuff, but your particular experience that you described so well really exemplifies why you should just forget about the cheap stuff, because it's just an exercise in frustration and it's a waste of money. One of the things I found extraordinary in your story was the physical changes that you described that you experienced because of the prostate stimulation. I mean, wouldn't every man like to be as hard as he was when he was in his 20s, when he's your age? I mean, I'm just going to make a wild guess and say you were somewhere around 45 or 50, because you didn't tell me. But it's amazing that you have had such great results in such a short period of time. Prostate massage can really help enlarge prostate symptoms. And I loved hearing, of course, how it improved the quality of your erections. I mean, who wouldn't love that? No matter which gender you are, you love it, she loves it. This is an awesome side benefit. For the rest of you listeners out there, let me read that paragraph again for the men and the women. Some of the physical differences are quite apparent. I now get much harder for regular sex, much like I was in my 20s. I last longer, have larger amounts of ejaculate, and my prostate feels wonderful. Peeing is far easier, and it is easier to completely empty my bladder. I did not realize my prostate was enlarging as I got older. I had no problem before, but the difference is enough to really notice. I feel 25 years younger down there. This is some seriously good information that should be shared with every single male friend you have. I mean, there's no need to go off and mention the pegging. Just mention the results from prostate massage. You know, from fingers or the Aneros toys or a dildo held in the hand or actual pegging. You know, all of it's good. But I don't know. I feel strongly about this. Surprise, surprise. But spread the word, people, please. Because there are so many men out there that suffer from BPH, benign prostatic hyperplasia. It's an enlarged prostate. So let's help all the men out there suffering from that to avoid the barbaric, oh yeah, that's my judgment there, barbaric laser surgery in which they cut away part of the prostate that surrounds the urethra. Wow, yikes. One slip and your life is irrevocably changed forever. So yeah, spread the word about prostate massage. It's not as delicate as talking about pegging, I wouldn't think. It's just so important. 50% of men over 50 suffer from BPH. 80% of men over 80 suffer from BPH. So you can kind of say it like this. If you're a man and you get old enough, the likelihood that you will have it is astronomical. It's almost like if you get old enough, you will have these issues. And we need to spread the word about prostate massage. It doesn't help every single man, but it helps so many. The tests that Aneros have done showed that it helps 90% of men who try their devices. Okay, getting back to your letter, sir. Your partner asking you to back off a bit and not let pegging become an obsession? Yeah, I have received letters that echo this scenario from more than a few people, in fact, recently. When men discover pegging like you did and have multiple orgasms and everything right off the bat, it is, I imagine, hard not to get consumed by that degree of pleasure. But balance is important, and it's good that you're striving for that and that she voiced her concerns. Awesome. So this is one hell of a pegging celebration story. Wow. And next, I have another one for you. I'm going to play the music again because I love the music. Okay, speaking of spreading the word, this is a couple from podcast number 30. The last time they wrote in, they had experienced a lovely New Year's time with their brand new Happy Valley silicone Tango, the double dildo, which was a new toy for them. They'd been using the Tantus Silk for some time. And they wrote in and described a lovely New Year's experience, which I read on podcast number 30. So this is them writing back with an update, and wow, what an update. Here you go. We have become huge fans of your website. While this story is a little long, I just couldn't wait to tell you about the adventure of last night. We owe it all to you. It actually started about 4 weeks ago when I was out with one of my girlfriends, Paula. We had gone to a movie and stopped by the local lounge for a couple glasses of wine. Well, a few turned into more than expected, and we were both feeling quite open. She and I got talking about our sex lives. At first it was pretty tame, until she told me that over Christmas, Paula and her husband Steve had gone to a dance club in Mexico. They went into the back VIP room, where the dancer performed for both of them. I guess afterwards that it got a little wild, and Paula ended up performing fellatio on her husband. Paula said the dancer just watched and touched herself. She said she'd never done anything like that before with an audience, but it was so exciting. Paula said that she got so carried away that she slipped a finger into Steve's bum before he ejaculated in her mouth. I was shocked to hear her confess to such an adventure, but also intrigued about the finger play. I told her that her adventure sounded so wild, yet so hot, but what I was most intrigued about was the finger play. She openly told me that Steve just loved having his prostate played with. I said that was so hot to hear, but made no indication that Brian, my husband, and I had become avid fans of pegging. All week I was dying to learn more about how far Steve's bum play desires went, so I arranged for another girls' movie night the following weekend. After the movie, we headed for the lounge and more wine. Partway through the third glass, I confessed to Paula that I had thought all week about her story from last week. At first she was a little nervous, but I pressed forward. I said that I had heard that many men enjoyed having their wives and girlfriends touch and stimulate their prostates. I even told her that I heard there were toys and even harnesses that hold toys, so a woman could even penetrate her partner. She admitted that it sounded like fun, but doubted that Steve would be into such, quote, gay, end quote, things. I responded that it was not gay if it was done by a woman. At that point, I told her that I had discovered your website and suggested she check it out. I didn't want to push too hard or out Brian, and so I just left it at that. I hadn't heard from Paula all week. I was afraid I might have offended her. Until early afternoon the following Sunday, she called me and told me that she needed to talk with me over coffee. I was almost a nervous wreck by the time she had arrived. Brian was home, but watching golf downstairs. But what if she made a scene and somehow figured out about the pegging? I made us a pot of coffee and got out some team biscuits. She arrived at about 2:30 and seemed even more nervous than me. She began by asking me where Brian was because she had to ask me something personal. I told her he was downstairs and couldn't hear us. She told me that my comments from last week had intrigued her, and she had checked out the website. Paula also told me that she asked Steve to check out the website this morning, and he surprisingly found it interesting, but wanted to know why and how Paula had asked him to look at it. She told him that she had heard about it on some talk show and it sounded like fun. Paula then looked at me and said, "So how was it that I knew so much about this stuff?" I think my heart stopped. I don't know why, but something told me that I needed to be honest with Paula, so I explained how I had been doing it with Brian for the last 3 years. Paula smiled and began to ask me all kinds of questions about what it was like for me, for Brian. How often did we do it? Did it interfere with other types of play, cleanliness issues, and equipment issues? I tried to answer all her questions and finally went and got our harness with our Happy Valley Tango double dildo for her to see. We chatted for about an hour before she asked me if I thought Brian would be willing to talk to Steve about it. I had gotten so caught up in our discussion that I forgot about Brian. I told Paula that I wasn't sure, but I would ask him that night. I did remind her that I wasn't 100% sure because it's hard for guys given the social stigma if it ever became public. She assured me that she would not say anything to anyone, including Steve. That night, since the cat was already out of the bag, I told Brian about all of my entire conversations with Paula. At first, he was speechless, but then nervously he asked me what I thought he should do. I told him that it was his choice, but he could do the traditional thing that most guys might do, which is nothing, or he could be bold and go and share his perspective with Steve and maybe open him up to the many wonderful experiences that we had discovered. After about 2 minutes of silence, he told me he would talk to Steve. I immediately sent Paula a text message with the good news. On Tuesday night, Paula and Steve came to our house. Brian and Steve headed for the garage, leaving Paula and I to enjoy a cup of tea. She was even more nervous than Sunday. She confessed that she had no idea if Steve would try it. However, she did ask me if he agreed to try it, would I take her shopping to buy the equipment? I said no problem. After about an hour, Steve came inside and told Paula it was time to leave, but wouldn't even make eye contact with me. As they left, Brian came inside the house. I asked him how his discussion with Steve went. He said, "Actually, very well, and he wants to try it, but he has a strange request." I remained silent, and Brian explained that Steve wanted to watch Brian get pegged by me, and then wanted Brian and I to watch Paula pop his cherry. This was something that I would never have expected, and I didn't know how to respond. I looked at Brian and was about to ask him what he thought about it, but noticed that he had an obvious bulge in his pants. I knew then that Brian was more than willing, so rather than ask him, I just said, "Sounds like we have a date for this weekend." I called Paula on Wednesday morning and told her that Brian and I were agreeable to serve as demonstrators for her and Steve. Her only concern was being naked in front of Brian. I suggested that while we were out getting her a harness and dildo, we could probably also find some outfits for us both. We made plans to go shopping that afternoon and were successful in getting everything we needed. I suggested that it would be good for her to practice wearing the harness and the dildo for a while each day, so it felt natural. We also set a time for Paul and Steve to come to our place on Saturday night for the big event. Brian and I made love Wednesday night, but I suggested on Thursday morning that he save himself for the remainder of the week so he could be at his best on Saturday. I got a lot of texts from Paula for the remainder of the week. Since they were scheduled to arrive at 4 p.m. on Saturday, Brian went and prepared himself at about 2. When the bell rang shortly after 4, I opened the door to find a very excited Paula and a somewhat nervous Steve. Rather than rushing anything, we spent about 3 hours on the sun deck, enjoying some wine and a light salad I had prepared earlier. At 7 o'clock, I softly asked Paula and Steve if they were ready, and Steve immediately said, "Absolutely." I told him that I had prepared the spare bedroom for them, but that we would use the media room for the event. Paula and I led the guys from the deck to the room, where I had sheets over the 2 large leather ottomans and an extra bottle of lube on the table, with scented vanilla candles. I suggested that Paula and Steve take a seat on the love seat, while Brian and I went and got ready. We rushed to the bedroom, where Brian stripped to his black silk briefs, and I put on my crotchless lace body stocking and hooked up the harness and dildo. Walking into the room, Brian got on all fours on one of the ottomans. I caressed his body before slowly lowering his briefs and sliding them off. I then proceeded to warm him up with my hands and fingers, eventually getting him well lubed. Up until this point, neither Paula or Steve said anything, but as I stepped behind Brian and began to penetrate him, I heard Steve say he couldn't wait to have Paula take his anal virginity. We started with doggy, and then I laid on the ottoman and had Brian ride the dildo both facing me and facing away, before I had him lie on his back and lift his legs so we could finish missionary style, which is Brian's favorite position. He had his feet on my shoulders as I thrust deep inside him. Afterward, I rested for a few seconds before pulling out. But even before I had finished cleaning my guy, Paula and Steve raced off to the bathroom, saying they would be back in a second. I got out of my harness and brought Brian his robe as Paula and Steve reemerged. I couldn't help noticing that Steve was naked, allowing everyone to observe that he had shaved his substantive and engorged genitals, as well as his well-defined backside. He quickly knelt on the ottoman. Paula stood there in her body stocking, appearing uncertain as where to start. I jumped to her rescue. I stepped to her side and talked her through the steps, from touching him and warming him up to lubricating his anus. It was obvious that Steve was both very excited but also very nervous. I told them that the key was to take the time to ensure Steve was fully relaxed. Once he was ready and able to take 3 fingers inside, I told them it was time for the dildo. I suggested to Steve that when he felt Paula begin to insert the dildo, to inhale slowly but deeply. It worked perfectly as Paula pressed the dildo inside and easily penetrated his inner muscle with about 2 inches of the dildo without any issues. I told her to pause for a few seconds and for Steve to press backwards ever so slowly until he had taken it all. Once she was all the way in, I recommended to Paula that she start to slowly move back and forth. Steve's moans and grunts, combined with the long string of cum dripping from his cock, clearly indicated that indeed he was enjoying the experience. Paula began to get more comfortable with the dildo. They were going slowly for almost 10 minutes before Paula told Steve that it was time to rock his world, and she began to thrust with more authority and reach down to begin stroking Steve. Within about 45 seconds, Steve came all over the draped cloth before the 2 collapsed on top of each other. By that point, I was ready to take my loving husband to bed. I told Paula and Steve that they could stay there or use the spare bedroom, but that Brian and I were going to go to bed. where we made love several times throughout the night. This morning, as the coffee had just finished brewing, Paula and Steve came into the kitchen, and Paula gave me a huge hug and then attempted to whisper into my ear, albeit not too softly, "I did him again this morning." Steve blushed, but soon we were all laughing. I also reminded them that Ruby Rider's website played an important role, thanks from all of us. As they left 20 minutes later, Steve just put his arm around me and said, "Thank you so much for everything." Now that is a good friendship, right? Sharing information and even guiding your friends to the first experience. Indulging their enjoyment in their own exhibitionism and performing for them even. Wow. Goodness. And also, wow, you guys, thanks. I mean, it practically reads like a commercial for my website. So thank you. I'm glad I was a part of that at all. I'm glad I could help. And I want the movie rights to this story too, please. Can you imagine? This would make such a good porn movie. And you all got to live it. So, yes, back to the subject of spreading the word. If everyone spread the word like that out there, there would be so many more couples enjoying the joys of pegging, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing this with us all, and I can only imagine the fun that you four are getting into at this point. That was a very hot story, and it was really heartwarming, bro-pegging bonding, too. If only more men could take the risks, share their stories, and then experience the joys of the sexual exploration more profound than they ever imagined. I mean, Steve sounds like one of my first few partners who, after I introduced him to it, asked for it twice more before we parted the next morning. You know, he had a little trouble the next day, like psychologically, letting go of the resultant sort of wonderings about maybe what that said about his orientation and the whole taboo aspect of it all. But he didn't let it slow him down much at all. He loved pegging. And that was the first time he'd ever had it done, and he asked for it twice more. So, yes, that's an incredible story. And again, thank you so much for sending it in. So, everybody, that's all I have for you tonight. As if that were merely a paltry offering. The last thing I want to mention tonight is that by the time I do my next podcast, with any luck, the Supreme Court will have struck down Proposition 8 as unconstitutional. The time has come. In fact, it is long past time for this to happen. It's really, really important. I'm going to share a link with you about this subject, and it's from an article in Salon.com, and I'm just going to read you this one paragraph from the article. In a very satisfyingly worded statement, Thursday, the American Academy of Pediatrics, that's 60,000 primary care pediatricians, pediatric medical subspecialists, and pediatric surgical specialists dedicated to the health, safety, and well-being of infants, children, adolescents, and young adults, officially made policy its endorsement of same-sex marriage, citing its support for couples regardless of sexual orientation as the best way to guarantee benefits and security for their children. The American Academy of Pediatrics' Benjamin Siegel issued a statement that, quote, "There should be equal opportunity for every couple to access the economic stability and federal supports provided to married couples to raise children," end quote. Fancy that. Stability. It's good for children. Yeah, there you go. The dominoes are falling. Not fast enough for my taste, but it's a bit of a nervous time with the Supreme Court ruling on this right now, especially for all my gay, lesbian, transgender, and all those types of friends that I have. It is a nervous time. There's a lot hanging on this, and it would just be so disheartening to have it fail again. I have faith that's not going to happen. I really, really do. And I'm asking for all your help. So light your candles, or pray, or meditate or visualize or click your heels together or go down there and show your support outside the courthouse. You can also change your Facebook profile or whatever profile you have anywhere you are all over the internet to that red square with the equal sign. Yeah, that's what that means. That's why you're seeing it everywhere. That means you support equality. So reach out also. I really recommend this part. Reach out to your friends who are affected by this ruling and tell them you're pulling for them and that you hope the Supreme Court decides that everybody has the right to choose who to love and who to marry. Okay. Have a great week, everybody. If you are in the LA area tomorrow night, which by that I mean Wednesday, the 27th of March. If you're in LA tomorrow night, Wednesday, the 27th of March, please come down to the El Cid, C-I-D, near Silver Lake to see the Bawdy Storytelling. That would be spelled B-A-W-D-Y. It's an amazing event. It's starting to happen once a month, and it just came down from San Francisco. The very first one was last month. I had a blast down there, and I know all of you would too. If you're anywhere around there, I really suggest that you see if you can get in. It's not very expensive, and it's about as much fun as you can have with all your clothes still on, I guarantee you. You know who's going to be there telling a story? Nina Hartley. No shit. So I'm going to put a link to the event on my blog. The Facebook page for that event is public. And I hope to see you there. It's a laugh and a half. It is so much fun. Okay. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_Ryder. I have a Facebook profile and a page that you can like with the thumbs up. You can subscribe to my blog. And my podcast is available on iTunes as well as on my blog directly. Please send your questions and more, many more of those freaking amazing stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you for downloading and listening. And happy pegging.